We're in the midst of a sermon series, Clash of the Titans. And there's actually been a few movies with that same name, and we're not talking about Greek mythology or all of that, or the very famous line from that movie, release the Kraken, not talking anything about that. We're talking about the book of Galatians that has these big theological titans that are kind of bumping up against one another. So we've been going through a number of those the past number of weeks, and today we're looking at liberty versus legalism. And as we go through the book of Galatians, some of the details may be different and the culture may be slightly different than ours, but these big titans that are fighting against one another are still true for us today. These are still things that we're battling, still things that we have to work through. And so we're looking at the law and grace and looking at the true gospel versus the false gospel. And then today, liberty versus legalism. And so let's just jump into the scripture. So we've been going through the book of Galatians, and we've been hopping around just a little bit because Paul doesn't always cover the topic just in one section. He's been hopping around a little bit, but this time we get a whole section that's just on this one thing. So we'll just be looking at the first half of Galatians chapter 5. And so we'll jump in here, and I'll go through, but I want to pause at certain points to explain and kind of talk through some of these different points to make sure we're getting it. So we'll start in Galatians chapter 5. And verse 1 says this, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. And that first section, for freedom, Christ has set us free. And that's one of those statements that seems really simple on the surface and seems almost, yeah, duh, of course, if he's setting us free, it's for freedom. But as we contemplate that, as we think about that, this is, ends up being very profound. Because what Christ did was set us free. In order that, and so that, we would live in that freedom. And then it says, stand firm, therefore, in that Christ did the work, but we have to be standing in that freedom. And stand firm implies that it's not just an easy standing there, you got to stand firm. That there's going to be waves, there's going to be currents, there's going to be culture, there's going to be pressure to go back to legalism. There's going to be pressure to go back to slavery. And so you have to understand the freedom that Christ gave you, and then you have to live there. And sometimes you got to kind of fight to stay there. That's the big point of this. You got to stand firm. And do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. This is the slavery of the law. This is the slavery of sin. You don't have to be a slave to that anymore. So this goes back to the work of Christ. The work of Christ on the cross set you free, and so you got to live in that. And so because Christ set you free, live in that freedom. That's what Paul's saying here. And then he gets even more direct. He said, look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. This is where we need to get the context here. And so at this time, you had this kind of fight in early church, and you had Gentile Christians that the question was, do they have to become Jewish? And do they have to take on the Jewish law, one of which is circumcision? And so before this, if you were a Gentile and you want to become a Jew and you were a male, then you, the kind of the symbolism and the rite of passage for you is to be circumcised. And that's how you show, I'm becoming Jewish. So that was the question. Do these new Gentile Christians, do they need to do that? And so when we see circumcision here, it's really, do we submit to law? Are we still living under the law? And we still living kind of under this symbolism of circumcision under law? And so he's saying, if you accept that, then Christ doesn't matter. So you're going back to this judgment by the law. So you think like Old Testament, you have to live by the law. And so how you do according to that law is kind of where you end up and how you do. With Christ, that gets thrown out. We no longer have to live underneath that law, a law that requires perfection. We don't have to live under that because Christ died for us. But then if you're going to step away from that freedom in Christ and go back to the law, then you're kind of living underneath that. And so you're living as if the death of Christ didn't make a difference. You're living as if Christ didn't matter at all. And what he did didn't matter at all because you're not taking advantage of what he's offering. You're going back to the old way. You're living in that. Because as it says here, if you're going back to the law, then you got to keep the whole thing. The law always requires perfection. And so you're bringing it back to judgment of being able to not keep the law instead of following Christ. And Paul continues. You are severed from Christ if you're doing that, if you're kind of taking back the law. You are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. So again, he's using very strong language here, that if you're doing this, you're being severed from Christ. You're kind of separating yourself from Christ. You're falling away from grace. And then the opposite of that is, through the Spirit by faith, we eagerly await the hope of righteousness. That when we believe in Jesus, when God sees us, he doesn't see our own righteousness or our own failure. He sees the righteousness of Christ. And so when we live in that, that's our hope. That's the hope of the righteousness when we have faith through the Spirit. That's the hope. That's the difference. That's what we want to have instead of living underneath this law to try and justify ourselves when we can't. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. And so he's saying here that it doesn't matter. Circumcision, non-circumcision, living underneath the law, living in freedom, those things don't matter in Christ. It's faith. All the rest of this stuff that you're throwing in there doesn't matter. It's faith. He's saying, go back to faith. Only faith working through love. That's where you should be focusing. And then he says, you were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And so here Paul's saying, I was with you, and I taught you, and I preached to you, and you understood it, and you were living in this freedom, but something must have happened. Someone must have come in and told you something differently, and you believed it. And he's implying here that it's probably just a few people. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. That it's just maybe a few bad apples, a few people are just leading you astray, and you're believing them, and you're following them. Why are you doing that? It's this big question. And he says, I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. And so he's saying, don't believe that, and then saying that there's some big consequences here for people who are teaching you a different gospel, a false gospel. He even gets stronger language than that. But if I, brothers and sisters, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. So he's saying, if you didn't have to believe in Jesus and do that, that's why I'm being persecuted, because of my belief in Jesus. If I didn't have to do that, if somehow we could be justified through the law, why am I going through this persecution? Why am I doing that, except there's only one way, and that's through Jesus? And then he says, I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. And this kind of sounds like a very strong language, and so it is strong from Paul, but there's some different translations here. And so the Greek here is really about cutting off. And so some scholars imply that since they're talking about circumcision, that cutting off implies to a little bit more of that, and so they talk about emasculating themselves. But it's also a cutting off from the congregation, that these people who are leading you astray really shouldn't be part of who you are, because they're moving you away from Jesus. And so it translates here as emasculate themselves. Some of them are cutting them off and kind of moving away from them. So it's strong language here, but either way, Paul's saying, don't be listening to them, and that there's strong results for those who are going to lead people astray. And then he continues. But you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. And so he's saying, if you live in freedom and you have that freedom, your options are wide open to you. So you're not confined anymore. You live in freedom. All the options are on the table. But with all the options on the table, don't take the ones that are kind of gratifying your own desires. Don't take the ones that are going to harm other people. Don't take the ones that are kind of against what God wants you to do. But instead, take all the options in front of you and say, where are the ones where I can show love? Where are the ones where I can serve other people? So you live in freedom, and you have so many opportunities, but you take that opportunity to love and serve one another. And the opposite of that is if you're biting and devouring one another. You're squabbling, you're fighting, you're tearing each other down, and you're in that end, you both end up broken. So if you're devouring and taking each other down, you just end up broken, and you've consumed one another. And so with this, let's talk a little bit about legalism. And we can look at it and go, well, why do these people go back to the law? They have freedom in Christ. Why is that such a big deal? Why is that so hard? And it's hard for us because it's our human nature. And freedom, true freedom, ends up being scary. When you have all the different options laid out in front of you, we get overwhelmed. And it becomes too much for us. So God is just so big, and he's given us so much freedom that we look at that, and we start to get a little panicked. And we go, there's so many options, how do I choose? And that limits us. Amberly and I, on Friday nights, we like to go out for dinner somewhere, and sometimes that's a sit-down restaurant. Sometimes, like this past Friday night, it's pizza at Costco, but we like to go somewhere. And we end up, on a Friday, and we go, where do you want to go to eat? And we go, I don't care, wherever you want to go. And I don't know, wherever you want to go. And there's probably literally hundreds of different restaurants in, a 15-minute drive from our house that we could go to. And you get to that point, and everybody will say, Nate, just wherever you want to go, let's just go. And then it's like your mind just blanks. There's so many different options, your mind just blanks, and you have a hard time understanding, what food do I like? What do I like to eat? What restaurants do I like? What restaurants are in our area? And all of a sudden, your brain just doesn't work anymore. And maybe it's because you've been working all week and everything else, and you're hungry. But it's like there's so many different options, and you just panic. And then what usually happens is that we'll just say, hey, whatever you want. And then one of us will mention a restaurant, and then it's like, well, not that place. Of course not that place. We need something else. That one's not good enough. And then we usually have probably, out of the hundreds we could go to, that's probably a few that, four or five that we end up going to quite often. And that's just an example of how we have so much freedom, but we kind of panic in that. And think about just how big that is with your own life. You have so much freedom. You could take your life in so many different directions, and so we kind of panic. And so when we panic there, we want someone to limit our options. And we kind of look for, how can I just kind of narrow this all down? I don't want to live in that freedom. I kind of want to narrow this all down so I can make it really easy for myself. And so that's what we do. We take on legalism. And we do that with our faith, is that instead of saying, I've got all these opportunities for ministry ahead of me, and God's gifted me in this way and that way, and I can do this and I can do that, and there's so many different options. We go, that's kind of a scary thought. It's much easier to say, what are the things I shouldn't do? What are these lists of things that I just shouldn't do, and if I just live by that, then I'm good. It's much easier to just go, well, I didn't do this, or I did these few good things, and now I've kind of fulfilled my life. The other thing that happens with legalism is you have people who want to control other people. And so sometimes they want to kind of throw on other people laws and kind of add to the gospel because it gives them the control, because they like to tell people, hey, don't do this, don't do that. And so you have that kind of distortion of the gospel because people want to control other people. Or it's because people want to feel better about themselves. And so what people do is they'll create little laws, and they'll create little legalism things that make them feel good about themselves. And it's things that they could probably easily accomplish. And so it's you go through and, well, I'm so much better at so-and-so because I do this and that. And maybe that's church attendance or reading your Bible every day or this or that. And so you create these little laws for yourself that if I do this, well, then I'm so much better than so-and-so on the other side of the church or so-and-so in my Bible study. We always want to rank and compare each other. And so we create these little things to say, well, I'm doing pretty well, but it's really just a rubric that we've created for ourselves. And it's a rubric that we usually create that we can look good in. So we kind of create the rules so that we're doing well in the game. And that's why we succumb to this temptation of legalism, for those different reasons. And that's why staying and living in freedom is difficult. So how does legalism show up in our church and in our lives? Sometimes we want to judge other people. And maybe we want to judge them on things that that aren't the true gospel, and we want to add on to it. And as you saw, it's about faith. It's about love. It's about service. And we always want to add things onto that. One of those things is church attendance. And, you know, so-and-so, I noticed they weren't at church for a few weeks, you know, and so somehow, is there something going on there? And we want to judge them. We want to say that somehow that's an indication of where they're at spiritually, when it may not necessarily be the case. Or maybe it's just something else, and it always starts with, could you believe that so-and-so does this or that? Could you believe that so-and-so, they watch this sort of TV show, or would go to this sort of concert, or would go to an R-rated movie? Could you believe that their kids said that, or that they choose to do this with their time? And we just go, could you believe that that would happen? And we just kind of slowly kind of judge and kind of compare to one another. And it's not comparing them to, do they love Jesus? It's these other things. It's this legalism stuff that we allow to kind of creep in to judge one another. So the opposite of that is living in freedom. And when we get to live in freedom, we get to live with all the options open. And that's what people they don't get. And it's such a hard thing to understand, is that we're no longer underneath the law. That's gone. Christ fulfilled that. And so when you believe in Christ, you are 100% free, meaning that it doesn't matter anything that you've ever done in your life and will do in your life, it does not affect how God sees you and does not affect how God loves you. God loves you 100%. And there's nothing, not enough good that you can do that's going to raise it above that. And there's nothing you can do to lower that number. And so you are 100% free. You can do whatever you want. It's all on the table for you. There is complete freedom in Christ. And with that freedom, you can choose to do the wrong thing. Like Paul said, he's encouraged them, don't use this freedom. You have this freedom. Don't use it for the flesh. Saying, don't kind of use this to take advantage of other people. Don't use this to just satisfy your own desires. You can, but don't do that. We have complete freedom. But in that freedom, then we have a choice. And Paul's encouraging us, take that choice to love other people and to serve other people. So how do we start doing that? How do we start living that? Well, the first thing we have to do is understand, where am I not living in freedom? And that might be a tough question. And so I encourage you to sometimes stop and think about why you're making the decisions you're making. And evaluate. Maybe you keep a journal, or maybe you just kind of stop and think, why am I doing this? Am I doing this out of a sense of obligation? Am I doing this so I can feel better about myself because I've created my own little rubric, and I want to feel good about myself because I, you know, did this and did this and did this. I can check that off. Or am I doing this because I'm pursuing God out of love? And so be asking yourself that question. Say, why am I reading my Bible right now? Am I doing it because I want to understand more about God? Or am I doing it just because that's a thing that I can say, well, I read my Bible today and someone else didn't, so I'm a little better than them? Why are you doing that? And think, why am I doing this ministry? Why am I doing that? And be asking yourself that question. Am I doing something out of being guilted into it and shamed into it? Or am I doing it out of freedom and out of love? That when you're truly free, you have the ability to say no. And so think about, if you're a slave and the master tells you to do something, you don't have the opportunity to say, no, sorry, I did a lot of work yesterday, I'm a little tired. You don't have the opportunity to say no. But when you're truly free, you have the opportunity to say no. And you can say no to things. And that's part of freedom, is what you say no to and what you can then choose to say yes to. So evaluate yourself. Where are you at? Is your life being dictated and run by guilt and shame, where you are trying to create these rules for yourself, and then it's just shame and guilt when you can't do it? It's like those New Year's resolutions. I'm going to do this every single day. And maybe you do it for a few weeks, and then you stop. And then you don't do it that one day, and then it's, oh, I'm such a terrible person. I'm such a sinner. Everything is just terrible. I can't do anything right. And we just beat ourselves up about it. It's the same way. I see Christians all the time, and they just walk through life like God is just kind of looking over their shoulder to say, you did this wrong, you did this wrong, you did this wrong. That's not God. That's the law. That's what the law does. And we're not underneath that anymore. God's saying, I love you. Here's the opportunities I'm providing for you. And so that's a measure for ourselves. Are we choosing things out of guilt and shame? Are we choosing it because we're empowered by who God is in our lives and the options that we can choose? Also, living in freedom is understanding that every single person is loved by God. And again, God loves them 100%. God doesn't love you just a little bit more because of the good things you've done. It doesn't work that way. And so when we understand that, we understand that like judging other people to look down on them is just a waste of time. It's just a waste of time. And that's a waste of time when Christians look at non-Christians and expect them to act like Christians. And they go, those people are living like that. Well, of course they are. They don't know Jesus. How can you expect people who don't know Jesus to act like they do know Jesus? Instead of judging them, we should love them and have compassion on them. They don't know it yet. And other Christians, guess what? God loves them too. Instead of judging and living a life of judgment and looking at how am I better than other people, we say, God loves us all. How can I love this person? How can I serve this person? That's living in freedom. When we do this, your life can be transformed. Even though if you've believed in Jesus your whole life, understanding this freedom part just kind of can transform your whole life. Because you understand that you can walk your head held high. You understand who God called you to be. You understand that you have agency and that you can make decisions, that God's empowered you to do that. And then it's out of your own choice. It's out of love for Christ that you're doing these things. Not out of obligation, not out of guilt and shame, not because some pastor expected you to do it. You're doing it out of love. That's the sort of church that we want here, where people are free and live lives that are empowered, live life that's worth exploring. That's part of this freedom piece. We get to explore all that God has for each one of us. We don't have to live in this narrow little box that we've put ourselves in. There's this whole world out there for each one of us, that God has gifted us with decisions to make and spiritual gifts to be used. And there's this whole wide world that we can explore if we're willing to step into that freedom. That the world is so much bigger than each one of us sometimes imagine and think about. And it happens when we understand what Christ did for us. And so I encourage you that if you're going to live underneath the law, if you're going to live under guilt and shame, if you're going to live under these kind of just legalism rules and laws, then you're living your life like Christ didn't exist. Don't live your life like what Jesus did didn't matter. Live your life empowered by the fact that what Christ did matter. And it mattered so much. That's living your life. Living your life at understanding that what Christ did transformed me. The work of Christ transforms me. And don't just throw that to the side, and I'm going to take this other way. Live your life like Christ's death matters. And live in freedom. Please rise. Lord, I just ask that each one of us right now, that wherever it's our own pride, kind of adding to the legalism, or it's our own sense of control, or if it's our own sense of kind of panic about the freedom that you give us, Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit right now, that you would just break some chains that are holding us back, that are keeping us with that yoke of slavery still on us. Allow us to see where we're just acting out of guilt and shame instead of out of love and service. Lord, we need your Holy Spirit to lead and guide us, allowing us to stand firm in freedom. And not just once, but again and again, every day, through your Holy Spirit, allow us to stand up and live a life of freedom, not a life of slavery. Lord, allow us to just have love and allow that love to just overwhelm us and empower us to see what we can do in acts of service to those around us, so that with our freedom, we don't use that for our own selfish things, but we use that for what you would have us to do, of loving the world and loving our neighbors and serving those around us. Allow us to do that. Lord, allow us to kind of break away from guilt and shame. And I just ask that for those who are just, you know, have a hard time with that, that, Lord, send your Holy Spirit to them right now. Those that just deal with this and say, I can't get past this shame thing. I can't get past this guilt thing. Lord, send your Holy Spirit right now and do a work. Set them free. Lord, I thank you that you sent Jesus and that he died for us. And Lord, I thank you that that death means something. And it means that we can live in freedom. Allow each and every one of us to just take steps towards that freedom today through your Holy Spirit. Allow that to happen. Lord, allow us to avoid the temptation of wanting to compare ourselves to other people. Allow us to move away from our thoughts of judgment, our thoughts of pride about how we might be better than others. Lord, we just ask that you just remove those, erase those right now, those desires. And replace that with a desire for love. Allow that when we see other people, instead of having judgmental thoughts, we have thoughts of love and compassion. Lord, we're working against our own human nature here, so we need your Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. So, Holy Spirit, come in this place. Lord, bring your kingdom here and now and transform us again and again to be living in freedom. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll now have a time of ministry. I'm going to ask members